Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock
a camel turnip.
And welcome to episode 27, season 12 of the Fighting Cock podcast. Joined by Bardi from the Extra Inch and the Fighting Cock. It's weird, isn't it? Like this whole.
Hello, Fluff.
I don't know what you are
anymore. I'm a little bit of everything. Got a finger in all the pies, Fluff.
You made me sick. You make me sick. Windy makes me sick. Nathan makes me sick. No, joking.
They make me sick, those two fucks. What, honestly, hey? every podcast, it's like me versus them. I'm getting like flashbacks to the Jose days. We want him out, Bardi. We want him out. Get him out of the club.
Is that what you're saying? Get Conte out?
Yeah, those two, of course.
What do they want?
I don't know what they want. They want it to be better. They want it to be better than what it is, which we all do.
Yeah.
But
before we get onto Paratici, because the point we're talking about is the fact that your fellow countryman, Paratici, is embroiled. He's not even broiled. He's at the very top of a conspiracy, essentially, to enable Juventus to get around financial fair play. Essentially, they wanted to buy more players but didn't have the money or couldn't without being in breach. So they cooked the books so it looked like they were receiving more for players than they actually were and that they were compliant for FFP. And they weren't. And there's recordings of Nedved and Paratici saying, if we get caught, we're fucked. Fucking hell.
How can Juventus get caught on tape again? It's just like they've never watched The Wire. They haven't learnt about like phone taps and the rest of it. They keep getting caught.
Every 10 years, they do something mental. And what are they not doing? What are we not hearing about? This is what they're just getting caught for. They're going to lose their league title, the one that they beat Napoli for. It'll be taken off them.
Will it go? I don't think it'll go that far back. But they won't get in the Champions League this year, which is good. So we could go in and swoop in for another few players.
Well, is Paratici even allowed to do business in Italy anymore?
I don't know if he's even allowed to go there. I think he's been banned for 30 months. He just can't go.
Remember
the U2 plane in the Cold War that used to hover above Russia doing stuff. So he would have to get one of those planes and just hover above Italy to get deals done.
So he can't do any business in Italy. That's not to say that Spurs can't. Like Daniel Levy could go and do his bidding in Italy. So, I want to hear about your thoughts on Conte, but we haven't even. This isn't over. This isn't just, okay, well, it's only Italy, therefore. We're fine. Spurs are fine. There's questions that got to be asked about whether or not we can even employ this guy anymore, which would be a massive shame because he is good at what he does, even if he cheats to do it. And I don't really give a shit about that either. I don't care if he cheats to get players in at Spurs and they're good. Like, who cares? Like, all my morals about football have gone out the window anyway. I just want to win. this could be a ban that it does affect him in England. He could get banned from operating in football altogether.
Can you imagine?
I mean, it's just, why the fuck does this shit happen to us?
It's unbelievable. It's you're right, though. Juventus, first of all, it's a doping scandal. Back when they won the Champions League in 96 or 97, they were just running around like peak Lance Armstrong. No one could catch them. And then they got done for Calciopoli, and then they've been done for this as well. Stop being dirty.
Calciopoli?
Calciopoli is 2006. Yeah, remember when they got relegated all the way to Serie B anyway.
They should disband them. Just get rid of them. I know they're the institution and they're like the big club, but someone will replace them. Disband.
You got to admire that, though. You got to admire Italians going after the big dogs. They're not fucking around with like the Burnleys. They're going after the old lady. They're taking her out.
Yeah, in England, it'll be Bury City. Let's bury them. Let's bury fucking AFC Wimbledon or MK Dons, whatever it would be. But it's effectively Man United cooking the books so they can sign players and then be getting a 15-point deduction.
They all do it. They all do it. Napoli, by the way, when they signed Victor Ozenheim, they sent 4 players the other way to Lille, who never even had an appearance, and then Lille just cancelled their contract. That was to balance the whole transfer.
It's crazy. Are you talking about the forward they have?
Yeah, the incredible forward.
Is it, what's his name? I thought his name's Osimhen.
Victor Ozenheim.
Ozenheim. Yeah, Ozenheim. He's class. They pay big money for him. He's like 50 mil.
70 million plus four randoms.
Wow. He would be a replacement for Kane when Kane goes to United.
For sure.
Do you feel that that's going to happen now, Kane to United?
I'm fully on board cashing in on Kane right now.
You want to get rid of him? Right, you want him out?
No, I'm not saying get him out. What? I thought I was saying if someone comes in with a nice enough offer, then I'm all right.
What's the appropriate compensation currently?
I think between 50 and 80 million is probably decent for someone with 1 year left on their contract.
If he breaks Greaves' record, there's nothing for him to stay for. No. Like, we just want him to stay because we want him to stay because he's good.
Yeah, he is really good. I'm not saying he's shit.
I know. Obviously, he's good. What are we going to do when... What are you going to do when you see Harry Kane in a Man United shirt? Will it bother you? Will it have any... Because, like, Teddy Sheringham... This is comparable to Teddy Sheringham, although, obviously, half the player that Kane is.
I'd be all right with it. I'd be okay with it. For me, when a player leaves Spurs, that's it. They're dead to me.
I know.
I don't care about him anymore.
I agree. And the same thing with Sheringham as well. It's like, I don't. As soon as he left, it was done for me. I'd had enough. It was... It didn't bother me. Anyway, you mentioned about Conte. Saying the boys, Windy and Nathan, want him out. I don't think... My feeling was that... And I don't want to put words in their mouths, but they were never really happy with him.
And No, they weren't.
They weren't, all right. And you know, you can understand it. It has played out in a way that I'm pretty unhappy with him currently. But what do you think about him?
I think Conte remains a really good manager. But I think Spurs are like someone who has just done a protein shake and done 10 sit-ups. Then they've walked over to the mirror, they're pulling up their shirt and going, why have I not got a six-pack? You got to earn this thing, man. You got to earn being a good team. You just can't just appoint Conte and then go, here we go, be a good team. You got to work. You got to push through the mud. You need to get rid of the trash. You got to start doing 200 sit-ups a day. You got a calorie reduction, the rest of it. You got to fucking work for it. It's not something that, here you go, Conte, make us win the league. It's not going to work like that.
Is it? But there is a problem in that. Obviously, you've got to support it and you've got to build it. It isn't going to come overnight. But, and you've seen what's happened in Arsenal. This is Arteta's fourth season. So he's had plenty of time being financially backed. But he's not signed a new contract. So how do you build around him?
That's the only thing against him at the moment. Everyone's going, oh, he hasn't signed a new deal. What's happening? I don't think it's a huge problem. I think the biggest problem Spurs have at the moment is we have a style of football that works, man. Man City, against Man City, I thought we played pretty well.
Yeah, we did.
But then even when it was 2-2, Perisic has that shot saved on the line, it hits the post, and it's those fine margins, and then our defence start doing what they've been doing all year. I still believe in Conte. And everyone, I get upset, man, because he's Italian. Everyone's like, oh, you're defending him because he's Italian. This is why I don't want any more Italians at Tottenham. Get them all out. Paratici, fuck off Zaniolo.
You're getting loads of stick.
I'm having to protect them like they're my blood.
I am angry with you, and I don't know why.
I know. It's not just you, man. There's a lot of people like blaming me. Yeah. It's not my fault.
Yeah, yeah. And you're only half Italian.
I'm not even Italian anymore. I'm English.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Like, it was like when youth players would perform badly, and I'd be looking at Windy. I was like, "This is your fault," just because he's taking an interest in them.
I agree that we should be doing better, but I think we're about a par for where this squad is. I think we're par. If you look above us, every single centre back, all the teams above us, walks into our team. Every other goalkeeper. Yeah. Above us walks into our team.
Some of their reserve goalkeepers get into our team. Henderson would get into our team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not even including the fullbacks or the backup centre backs. I think we are where we belong right now.
Yeah, I get that. But I think the frustration is that we know about these limitations and nothing's been done really to fix them, especially defence.
That's not on Conte.
No, it's not on Conte, no.
I don't think you can blame him the fact that we still got Tanganga, Sanchez. If Longley doesn't work, you've got to turn to Davies, Tanganga, Sanchez. You know, they're not re-signed Eric Dier because it's either you give him a new contract or I don't know who you put there.
No, you need him as a body. I mean, the fact that we rely on Eric Dier, and I've got a lot of time for Eric Dier. I really like him as a person, and I said it on the last podcast, but I listened to, or it might have been Patreon, but I listened to his high performance podcast he did with Jake Humphries, and he came across brilliantly. And after that, I was like, I love this guy. I'm glad that he plays for Spurs. But the fundamentally, as a footballer, for the level we aspire to be at, he isn't there.
No way near. He had a bit of a lot of these players, man. They have this kind of new manager bounce, and then they just kind of revert to the mean. They start playing how they've always played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you can't deny the quality; it will always win out. You can't overperform, and it's amazing what sort of Heung-min Son has done for so long. Has overperformed. His XG was always his XG was always below what he was actually scoring. So he's scoring goals that he shouldn't have been, and it typically and I know a lot of people still stick their nose up at XG, but it is a brilliant barometer of where you should be or where you're going to end up being or where a player is. So yeah, it's what about Enoch? Where are you with that?
You know, I don't think there's a solution to Enoch. I don't think we can run around outside the training ground like about five people are today and demand Enoch out. They're not gonna leave because of that. I think what I've always been pro this kind of Billy and Nathan talked about this recently. This kind of Levy step back, although I would have used a better hashtag, made it a bit more bouncy.
So remove Levy but keep Enoch.
Yeah. I think Enoch aren't going anywhere. I think Levy needs to be removed from head of operations. I think 20 years as a CEO of any company is a long time.
Yeah.
I think 20 years at Tottenham is way, way, way too far, man. You know, these people who are in power yeah. corrupts you, man. And he's a megalomaniac. He's making decisions that are based, what seems like, according to him. And there's been real bad footballing decisions, man. There's someone out there who's put a list together about even appointing Nuno Espirito Santo, sacking Jose just before a cup final.
Yeah, well, that in Super League. There's certainly recently, but before the last couple of seasons, I've never doubted Daniel Levy. I don't think we had reason to. I think there was. I'm not going to go over it again, but there was reasons why we didn't spend money. We knew about the stadium, Wembley, all that stuff. But by and large, from 2006 through to 2020. I thought he'd done a really good job, that we had one of the best chairmen in the league, and I was fully behind Enoch. But recently, if you look, it was when I really started to get confused was when we'd gone however many weeks it was, 7 weeks without a manager, 70 days without a manager, and then Nuno was who we brought in. And I was like, well, that is a failing. That's a massive red flag there. And then, you know, you'd look at the money we have spent. You know, since we started spending, like we went through those free transfer windows without buying a player, we have spent significant money. It's not on the par of what Arsenal and Chelsea are doing, obviously, but we have spent huge money on Richarlison, on Lo Celso and Ndombele. And those, not Richarlison, we don't know yet, but those other two players, it's crazy. We've lost so much money on them and we'll never get it back.
Yeah.
You know, those are two key players that you think would actually improve Tottenham, but they're just bumbling around at other clubs doing very little.
And we don't know who made those decisions because Paratici wasn't in place. Oh, that was maybe Hitchin. God. We've been through some fucking idiots at this club. And I just think it's time for a change.
Well, who's appointing them? Who's appointing them?
Yeah, exactly.
If the fish stinks, it stinks from the head.
You did forget him sacking crowd favourite Martin Yeo at half-time way back in the day.
Yeah, and then there was obviously trying to move us to Stratford, and then there was the... Yeah. There was other bits and pieces as well. But yeah, I'm kind of moving... I'm moving towards a position where I think if we want to progress, if we want to become a club that actually could legitimately win a league title one day, it needs to be a different owner. But what, like, I don't think the problem disappears with Daniel Levy if Enoch's still... He is Enoch, isn't he? Like, what's the structure? If Joe Louis, you know, getting to the point where he's about to conk out, Daniel Levy's number two. How do you keep Enoch and remove Daniel Levy? Who is it?
I don't know, but we need someone making new decisions, at least freshen things up, make a new decision here. And
like, I know Todd Bowley's a nutcase. Right, but I'd love that nutcase.
Yeah, come on.
Why not?
Why is this what? Misery. Like fighting for 45 million for Pedro Porro. Just sign him. Fuck it, let's have some fun.
Todd Bowley's gone in there and gone, fuck, look, I mean, I've got £500 million here. I'm just going to spend it all. I don't know how they're not compliant. I know there's this idea about they've bought players on long deals and the payments can be made throughout the duration of the contract and they can offset... offset the costs associated in that period by loaning players out and his ways of balancing books, but you just can't spend £470 million and questions not be asked.
Yeah, yeah. Flav, you know, I often think about my own mortality and just...
I wake up every night at about 4 a.m. and think about it myself.
So I wouldn't mind. I mean, I don't have children, so I'm the last of the Mohicans. There's no one after me. That's it. So I don't need Tottenham to continue into the future. In 50 years' time, I'm not going to be here. I don't have a son or a daughter supporting Tottenham. So what happens to Tottenham when I'm dead? I don't care. So let's just fucking go all in. Let's spend.
What, Qatar, like, Saudi Arabia, whoever it is.
No, not even that. Let's just steal money from some pension funds. Let's go nuts. Get all the money together. Buy everybody. And then if we get relegated, it's all right. I could die. I can go to my grave. And not have, he never saw Tottenham win anything on my gravestone.
Yeah,
let me
yeah.
have something. Like, oh, I'm people up like 70, 80, they've seen things. They're dead now, but they saw stuff. They haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything either. We're the same age. And what have I seen? Some fucking FA Cup win about 40 years ago, whatever it was, 30 years ago. That's it. The League Cup doesn't count. I don't give a shit. It doesn't count.
I can't be on my deathbed thinking the only bit of glory I saw was when Peter Cech punched a ball into Woodgate's face. That's it. That's the only bit of glory I've had.
Yeah. Right. You're right. It is just a case of, like, how do we get to a position? And it's not even, it's like getting on an even keel with other people. It isn't even like guarantees anything. And the league is moving to a situation where everybody's going to be owned by some sort of mental, mad, you know, owner who's going to pump money in. And then it will just, there'll be a sort of equilibrium that sets in. But we can't be the last team at it. It's interesting, though, that Liverpool have been up for sale for two months and they haven't received a single offer. That there's been no real concrete interest in them. And they want about £4 billion, which, you know, when Todd Bowley bought Chelsea of £4.5 billion, United, Glazers and FSG have just gone, fuck, is that how much football clubs are worth? No, is the answer. They're not worth it. Todd Bowley is mental. He cannot be the benchmark. But mate, if you're like, even though they're like 10th in the league, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're excited. They've got such a massive pool of players now that they just got to get the right manager in. Brian Potter. Graham Potter. Graham Potter was it isn't the right fit. Chelsea and Graham Potter don't fit together. It's a different job to Brighton. But if Conte does go, would you take Brian Potter? Is that, I mean, I know Windy would be interested in that.
He would be, but we can't go ex-Chelsea again. That's enough. No, we can't.
What? That's the reason.
Yeah, I think so. We can't keep going back to Chelsea. It just doesn't work out.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Let's not go Italian. Ten Hag is the interesting one because that seems to be working out quite nicely for United. Even though he did get did get to buy a centre midfielder, who's a proper centre midfielder. He got a decent winger, decent centre back.
Well, this is the thing, is United. People look at Manchester City and they look at Chelsea, and it's United that spend more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like huge money on wages, 400 grand for Varane a week, and he's great. He's a good player. Very good. Better, 10 times better than everything we've got, including Romero.
You think Romero's a myth?
I think that Romero is very good. I think his ceiling is high. His performance this season, he's flattered to deceive.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
He's just one of those players that I think he's an excellent defender. He does some incredible stuff, but it's almost like he's not one of those kind of Van Dijk individuals. He's still young, though, that just turns a team. If everything works alongside Romero, he's incredible, but he's not like a game-changing individual. And they're kind of the same way.
He's
like
playing next to invalids, though, isn't he? Like, he's gonna...
He is.
It's funny that he makes mistakes as well. He's prone to like some like Palace. He got done. Like he made a mistake, stumbled, and they went through. They didn't score. It happened on the right hand side of the box. If that was Dyer, it'd be like, yeah, fucking hell, Eric Dyer, he's done it again. But he does get away with a lot. And again, let's not pick holes in our best players, because you know there's enough holes in the rest of them. But I think he gets away with a lot, and unless he kind of starts to improve his performances, people will start to question whether or not he's good as we say he is. But he's our best defender by a country mile.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot to be kind of downbeat about, but there's still a lot of positivity. Romero, Bentancur is incredible against City. Kulusevski remains incredible.
Bentancur is different gravy, isn't he?
Ah, oh, he's unbelievable. The way he's come on, and I have huge hopes for Bissouma as well. I feel that Bissouma's going to have a similar trajectory. He just needs to get it right. Just needs to run at games, and I think those two could be great together.
Yeah, but Bentancur, he's better than I thought. And it was really, while we understood how good he was before he went to the World Cup, how good he was on that level. Like he just stood out, and the you know, a couple of individual moments in the games that he played, where he went through about four players, and I think he hit the keeper when he went through. But it's just his control and composure, and his ability to be press resistant and find space. It's comparable to sort of, he's not on the level obviously, but Modric did something similar where he would find space where he had no right to, and that's what made him so great. Is that football's a difficult game, right? It's a difficult game to break a team of Premier League quality players if they're playing in a system that is regimented, and all they have to do is do their job, and they're playing at such an elite level that they can do that. You need players that, like Bentancur or Modric or what Dembele used to do, where you pull them out of shape and take advantage of that moment. And we haven't had that since Dembele left, and I think Bentancur could be that one. Thank God he signed. Like, what's happening with Kulusevski as well? Are we going to buy him? I know we have an obligation to, or an option to, but when he's still on loan, right?
I don't know. I thought we'd sealed it.
I don't think we've actually paid the money yet. That's another whatever it is, 27 million that we agreed to pay. We've got to fucking fix the Lloris problem. That's another 50 million on the goalkeeper. That doesn't fix any of our out pitch.
Lloris is just something we should have fixed many, many years ago, and we've just allowed it to like get worse and degenerate. And it's very sad. And you know, Lloris has been a great servant, and I feel bad sometimes. Ricky's been getting upset with me because I've been going after him, but he is shit at the moment, and
it's not
it is
just,
sad.
It's not just shit. Shit would suggest a lack of quality. He's become a liability.
He's a liability, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is.
You look at him, you have zero faith, and it's unfair because he's doing his best. And he's clearly distraught every single time he throws the ball in the net. But if you keep doing it, you can't. Like it's like he against Arsenal where he it was passed back to him and he just sort of toe punted it out to the left and you're like, oh my god! And then it just hits him in the chest and goes in. Like 8 years, 9 years ago, he's never letting that in. And it getting beat. Look, we know I'm not going to catalogue of errors.
He's falling backwards. That's the thing. He's falling backwards all the time. And I always have a theory that when a goalkeeper starts falling backwards rather than pushing forwards, they've gone. Their reactions are gone. Their eyes are gone. And, I played a goal. And not even any kind of big level, but I know what it's like when you're in a bad run of form and shit goes wrong and there's just a stress and a pressure and a tension on you every time the ball comes near you. Yeah. And that's what he has right now.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. But, you know, take him out the firing line then. Bring in big hands.
I like big old Fraser Forster. I've been on this train for a while. He's massive.
Can't
just put him in.
It's his the ball at feet though is an issue. He's like lumbering oaf.
He's still better than Lloris.
Currently, I'd have to agree. Let's just see him. I mean, look, if he comes in and throws four balls into the net like Lloris has, then or take him back out then. But you know. Probably won't. Great shot stopper as well. So Paratici, we're in this situation. If you're Daniel Levy in this and you're looking at this, again, he has to be culpable. So he should have done his due diligence to find out what was actually going on in this case. Imagine him going like, so Fabio, what's going on? No, nothing. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I promise you. And he went, yeah, I know. But, you know, we're a high profile football club and you know, there's a lot of pressure on me, Fabio. And I was wondering... You know, are there any truths in these rumours that you might have been cooking the books at Juve? No truth in those at all. And then it comes out, this fucking voice notes and video phone recordings of him going, not necessarily him, I don't know the full details, I don't know who was caught on tape. But if we get caught, we're fucked, is essentially. So what do you think is going to happen? Because from my position, I think... He can't continue to work for us. He has to be sacked. And I don't want that because he's good. He's one of the few good things at Tottenham at the moment. But his position for me is untenable.
I mean, I think Juventus are still, they're still going to appeal. So this might get overturned. So it might be nothing. But can you imagine the interview when Paratici was doing it? Like, have you got any kind of anything criminal to report?
Anything we need to know about that?
Anything going on in your background? Nothing. And he's going,
nah. What me? Nah. what are you talking
about? Just because I'm Italian, you think I'm dodgy?
Fanculo.
I don't think you sack him. I don't think you sack him.
Did you not think this reflects badly on Tottenham? Like are the we bought Bentancur and Kulusevski from Juventus. Paratici
and Romero.
Romero
was owned by Juventus. He went to Atalanta.
And is that true?
There's something really dodgy. That's dodgy as fuck. Romero,
dear Lord. I mean, look, I don't. As a buying club, I don't know how sort of culpable we are in all of this, but it stinks.
But it's not just Juve doing this, man. Most Italian teams do it. Man City organising special sponsorship and the rest of it. It's football's crooked all over the place.
Yeah, it's true.
Unfortunately, Juve have taken one for the team.
Do you think that this is it shows that financial fair play does have teeth?
Because they're having to do this kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's one of the deals is the Pjanic to Barcelona and Arta to Juventus, where both deals cost both parties £12 million. Mm. And it's, even though the players were rated at like 60 and £70 million. So this is going on across everywhere. And maybe Juventus is the first club to be pulled up for it, and we'll see what happens next.
Morata as well, like the amount of money that geezer has gone for, something's not right there. Like, he's one of the most bang average forwards. Like, he's an okay forward. And he's gone for untold money. They're just...
But like, 50 goals in his career across like 20 seasons. He's terrible.
How much has Morata... I'm going to try and Google this.
How many goals? I reckon he's not got more than 110 goals in his life. Like club goals.
In transfers.
Oh, in transfers.
In the history of football, he's fourth in the most money paid for a player in the history of
Who's
the game.
Top? Ibrahimovic, I guess.
Number one is Di Maria. Sorry, my bad. That's seven. It's starting from top. So Di Maria, let's go for it. Di Maria was €179 million. He's at seven. Coutinho is €180 million. Griezmann 184. Morata 189 million euros is what it's cost for him to move between clubs. Can you Google, buddy, how many goals he's scored in his career and whether or not you think that's worth nearly 200 million euros? Ronaldo.
I'm going to guess that he's scored less than 100. He's got. Where'd you see it? Here we go. Career title, 140
goals. I mean, Kane's, Ronaldo went for 245 in third. Who do you predict is number one?
Ibrahimovic, maybe, or Ronaldo. No.
Ronaldo was third at 245. Neymar's 310 for that £200 million. And that's €200 million, rather, that didn't come out of football. Came out of Qatar, didn't it? I'm pretty sure he was an ambassador for Qatar. Fuck it. Lukaku.
No.
Number one, €326 million.
Yeah, you see, football's bent as hell, man. There's big deals going on.
Look, Lukaku, loads of time in Italy. Di Maria, time in Italy. Morata, loads of time in Italy. There's a problem here. I think we should probably look at banning Italy from football.
Well, there's a reason why Italy and Juventus were one of the key teams pushing the European Super League. They wanted that money.
Yeah, no, there you go. Adam Sinclair says, does Fabio's ban affect us in the current market in terms of other clubs not wanting to deal with us? Will Levy and co look to replace him ASAP? What do you think, buddy?
I don't think so.
Doesn't affect us in the short term.
No.
Plus, he'll probably appeal any judgment. And when you're appealing, you're presumed that you're innocent. You're able to operate. Keith K says, this entire window has had a Levy stench to it. What are the chances that Daniel has been in charge because they knew this was coming? It does feel like that the Porro stuff, it does feel like he's back in charge, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. They've set a target. They've set an amount that they want and we're just not paying it. That does have the Daniel Levy hallmarks.
Do you think that we should spend, what's his release fee? €45 million? Something like that?
I think so. I don't think he's the best right wing back solution in the world, but I think he's a massive improvement on Royale and Doherty. So I would pay him.
Is he? He's much better.
Yeah, and I think he played last night, I think, and he had a storming game for Sporting.
He's actually come out and said, I'm happy at Sporting. Obviously he's going to say that stuff, but just don't engineer a move. Fuck's sake, prick! If you want to come, make it difficult. It's like. The other thing is Trossard. He looked like he was coming to Spurs, and then suddenly Arsenal come in and went, "Yeah, now we'll have you." Although what's your thoughts on that, Trossard? I don't think anybody thought they were desperate for him, but I think he's a really good player. And it's just whether or not you think paying £27 million for him when he has 6 months on his contract, but they at Brighton have an option to renew for another year.
I don't think Trossard is a game changing signing. I don't think getting him in would have altered our season or propelled us guaranteed top four. So, yeah, I'm not too down about that.
Fair enough. Is there any players out there that you think we should be going after that we could potentially buy? Like, you know, in the Inter Milan centre backs, Skriniar, De Vrij.
Yeah, Skriniar. De Vrij, no, steer clear. Skriniar's a good one. He's a bit old, but I think he's getting on a bit. Maybe he's 30. 20.
Yeah, I think he's 30. Divide's 31, and then obviously you've got Bastoni, who's young.
Skriniar's a good one to go for. Bastoni, I think, is out of our price range. I wouldn't mind us going back for someone like Maddison, but even though he's been injured half the season, I think we should sign Porro. And, I'd go for those guys for the moment.
Got a bit of a request here from Ali Azariani. Ali Azarian. I'm not sure the podcast is... we'll do him a favour. He says, I'm in New York for work. Could you please ask any listeners from New York City to get in touch with me? Would love to watch the Fulham game with some local fans. I've tweeted, but it's tumbleweed so far.
New York Spurs. Go watch it. Yeah, go watch it with them. Brooklyn Yid.
Aliano Staliano. Yeah, go, there's New York Spurs. Brooklyn Yid on Twitter. He'll sort you out. There's a bar in New York. They all go and watch it. And so just look it up. I'm sure you should know that. Like Google.
Yeah.
Spurs groups in New York. We're everywhere. We're like a fucking rash.
Yeah, I went to one in Amsterdam to watch a game. Just type in New York Spurs into Twitter. And they'll be there and just go to the pub.
Dav asks, are we going to be okay?
We'll be fine.
What does okay look like, buddy?
Okay is kind of where we are right now. Fifth, sixth. That's it. Fighting for fourth. That's okay.
And what's your aspirations? Like, what we should be aiming for more than that. We generate huge amounts of money. We're in the top 10 Forbes rich list for football clubs. Like, what? It's just simply spending, isn't it?
I thought we would put in a bit of a title challenge this year, but kind of fade away by end of February, early March. I thought we'd be in the running, and I thought top four would be nailed on. I didn't think we'd be fighting for top four. That's where I was at the start of the season.
Same.
Right now, I would take top four and a cup. Be nice. FA Cup would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, it would be lovely. We've got a question here, but it leads on to to discuss the idea that, you know, regardless of what happens, just keeping Conte in for these cup competitions that we're in is crucial. He's a sort of cup manager. He's won the FA Cup with Chelsea. He won cups with Inter Milan as well. And Juve, I think. And Jamal says, we have now 10 days left of the window. All the other clubs around us have bought in reinforcements, apart from us, as usual. This surely means that Conte is on his way out. What do you think of Conte's situation? I know he's not signed a contract. We discussed that, but what do you think will happen? How will this play out for him?
I don't think Conte not having a contract matters. I think if Tottenham make a decision on how they're going to play and who the next manager is going to be, you can almost future-proof yourself by, okay, we're going to have a back three playing manager. So the next manager we're going to do, his profile is going to be he plays with a back three, and then you sign players that are capable in a back three. Or if you're going to think 4-3-3 in the future, you start buying individuals there. I think that's the problem with Levy. He's never thought long-term. He signs managers and tries to give them what they want within reason. But if we play a back three now, buy players that work in a back three, and then your next manager has to be someone that's capable of playing with a back three.
That's interesting, because that's not Pochettino, and that is Tuchel.
Poch did have some success with a back three, playing the 3-4-3 in the season. The season we
2016.
Pushed Chelsea, I think. Yeah, we played a back three. What was it? Dyer.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever done a podcast where there hasn't been some reference to 2016.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? People just they won't let it go. It really winds me up as well. I didn't mean to do it. I try not to reference.
It's in our psyche, it's in our subconscious.
I don't want Pochettino, by the way. I don't care what John Bass says about Ferraris and trips to Florida. I don't want Pochettino back. I think.
What does he say? What does he say about Ferraris and trips to Florida?
What do you say? He might not take you to Florida or drive a Ferrari, but he's dad.
Right, I see. But his stepdad might do. I understand. So if Conte goes, and do you see him going? My question is, will he be here next season?
I think he'll be here next season.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll pull it out the end of this month, and then we'll go on a bit of a run. Everything will be all right. People will forget about it, and we'll finish top four.
If we win 3 games on the bounce, which shouldn't be beyond us, because at the end of last season, to qualify for the Champions League, we won 5 in 6 and went away to Anfield and drew there where we could have won. Then, yeah, you're right. The whole mood changes. But you look at our last 10, we've won 3, lost 6, I think, and drawn 2. No, that would be 11. But whatever, we've not been very good. I think that our form over the last 10 games gets a lot of managers sacked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. You can't sugarcoat it. It's bad, but I feel there's a corner. We're going to turn the corner. We got Bentancur back now. Kulusevski's back. Just swap out Son for Richarlison, and I think we'll turn a corner.
So if it isn't Conte next season, although you assume it would be, would you be interested in Tuchel managing Tottenham?
No.
Why?
I mean, he alienates and falls out with players even worse. I don't think there's an ex-player of his that has a nice thing to say about him.
He's a bit of a worm, isn't he?
He's a bit of a worm. He's a bit of an idiot. His football's not great. I don't want Tuchel.
All right, so if it isn't Conte, who might it be then? Have you got any ideas about who we should employ next?
No, nobody.
Just Conte or nothing.
Conte or nothing.
I think we need to show a bit of patience. Like we need to just realise that this is a bad moment, and that it just comes down to Daniel Levy and whether or not he's going to do what other clubs are doing around us and spend our way into a situation where we are able to compete and challenge for league titles. We won't be able to do it if you keep asking managers, as good as Conte, as good as Jose Mourinho. I know most Spurs fans don't like Mourinho, have very little faith in him based on what he based on the time he had with us. But he is and has been an elite manager. You can't keep expecting managers to come in and deal with a 80% of a back line that's been there for 6-7 years. You just cannot. And Conte is an elite manager. Football might not be great, whatever it is, but he wins. He wins. And Jose Mourinho wins. Wherever he goes, he wins. Both managers, if Conte leaves at the end of the season, we haven't won a trophy. We've been the sole club where that manager has been there and hasn't won a trophy. So let's just stick with Conte. Give him time. Allow him for his hissy fits. Just allow him to behave in the way he does and say the things he does. And he hates losing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with hating losing. I do wish he'd sort of like understand the weight of his words sometimes and the impact that has. And I wish that he would sign a new contract so that the conversation constantly around him isn't about when he's going to leave. Because that isn't a healthy conversation when you're talking about your football club. Moreover, well, we get through this transfer window. This is a sticky period. We can build. That isn't the conversation that's happening at Tottenham at the moment. It's like, is he going to be there? When are these players going to come?
I think a lot of this is like, oh, he's paid £15 million. He should be doing better. How can Graham Potter at Brighton and stuff like that, they were performing well. But Brighton finished where every season? 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe.
Above their station, though.
They're above their station, but Graham Potter was able to sign the players that he wanted to play his style of football. Everybody that performs well, they get those players they need. Eddie Howe at Newcastle, they're pretty turgid to watch, but they get results. But he was able to sign a goalkeeper, a centre-back, a centre-midfielder and a forward. He signed the players that he wanted. And if Newcastle wanted more, even more players, they'd go out and get them. But he's kind of happy with his squad. I don't think... You can't play a back three of Longley, Dyer and then Romero. It's just... It's criminal. And the fact that we haven't been able to turn this around. But if you look across Europe, Serie A has spent £6 million this January. I think La Liga spent £19 million. Bundesliga spent maybe 15. Premier League's spent 320.
Well, all the money is in the Premier League, but Chelsea has spent more than the other three major leagues combined.
And that's a huge problem when you've got players that we can't shift. Lucas Moura, Davinson. No one's buying these players because the rest of Europe's broke as fuck.
Yeah, indeed. But then what do? You still have to spend. You still have to... You have to exist in a bubble that the Premier League is in. And the idea that you buy players as an investment for the future isn't relevant anymore, because what you're saying is we might buy or speculate on a player like Mudryk, for example. He's gone to Chelsea. We might have spent £8 million or £60 million, whatever it is, and the idea that he will be £150 million. Where's he going to go? To Man City, Man United or Chelsea? So you're developing players for your opposition in the Premier League, because he's not going... Real Madrid and Barcelona might be able to find a way, but they're fucked as well, Barcelona especially.
We've always had a problem at Spurs, getting really scared about selling players into the Premier League, but we're just going to have to face facts.
Everybody does.
We're going to have to do it from now on.
Yeah, 100%. James Swan. So I tweeted... James Swan said, how does Spurs manage to ruin a weekend when we're not even playing? So I tweeted last night when I looked at the fixtures. I thought we were playing Fulham on Sunday. I didn't realise it was Monday night. And I was like, oh, fucking brilliant. We've all got a weekend where Spurs aren't going to completely fucking ruin it. And then literally 3 hours after that, the news broke that Paratici's a bit of a crook.
Because it does ruin the weekend. Sometimes I like to sit down on the Sunday afternoon and watch the football. Like, invite my dad round, have a Sunday lunch, a couple of beers, watch the football and relax. But when the Spurs lose on a Saturday, it's just like, fuck that. Stay home, Dad.
Yeah. I mean, I've only now got to a situation where I'm feeling like philosophical about it all. Like, you know, this is a bad period. I'm no longer allowing Spurs' poor performances to really fuck me off or ruin my day or ruin my week, because we've reached a low ebb. And I was banging on about the fact that I want to lose to City to stop Arsenal. But when we lost to City, I felt bad. Like I that was a lot of bravado and bullshit that was coming out of my mouth. I don't want Arsenal to win the league, but I don't want City. I don't want Spurs to lose. It felt bad, especially being 2-0 up. It felt bad.
My wife stood there on Thursday, incredulous. She was like, "How are you losing this game?" She goes, "How can you be so happy after 45 minutes being 2-0 up?" And then how does that happen?
It's football.
She goes, she goes, just like, "I don't understand why you do this and why you go through this. How is it? I don't think there's any other thing in life that could bring you such joy and then such misery within 45 minutes.
Body is chaos. Football is chaos." And while I anticipated that City would come back, and you know, it's the first manager that sort of tried to match up against Spurs, which is a bit weird. It was almost like someone, I don't know who it said that was it that that Pep just seems bored, and so he's just trying things. Like he's just like, I know I got all the players, I can win every game, but let me just try some new things. Like for him to match up against Spurs, knowing that every team that's put three men in midfield overruns us. And then matches up in the first half and we do all right. And then obviously the inevitable happened. And
with threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Played us off the park in the second half, didn't they?
Just had to keep it quiet. 10 minutes, first 10 minutes, Spurs. Don't do anything.
Well, so the second goal, I thought, that's trouble. Like when Kulusevski scored, I was like, brilliant. That's wicked. Yeah. Like a flash goal, like a flash knockdown in boxing. Goal. When we scored the second, I was like, we're in trouble here.
you've really annoyed them. Like you've upset the bear.
You've rattled the cage.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave it at one. Go. That's funny, isn't it? Sorry, guys, but not 2-0.
Yeah. Tim Pierce said, "Are you surprised by the relatively poor turnout at the training ground protest this morning, given the current state of the club?" So this is there was a movement or a groundswell to get fans to turn up at the training ground to protest against Daniel Levy so he left the football club. And the question is, are we surprised that very few people actually turned up? No,
not at all. It's a fucking miles away, that training ground.
Yeah, it's not like it's not...
Not even a pub next door.
Spurs are not the club. So there was, I think it was an Italian club where they somewhat... Was it Sassuolo?
Sassuolo.
Yeah, where they were unhappy that the chairman had sacked a manager that they liked and brought in a new manager, and the ultras turned up at the press conference and carried him out and dumped him outside the football club, the new manager. as much as the fans in England are passionate, I don't think we're not activists. Spurs fans.
No, they're not as mobilised. They're definitely not as mobilised. But then there's also kind of an undercurrent of crime funding these ultra movements. Like the Juventus don't have ticket exchange or StubHub because all the tickets go to the ultras and they sell them on the black market. They have their own merchandise, which they sell outside the stadium. The Lazio fans as well. It's a proper organisation, money backed. It's not a couple of idiots on Twitter just posting hashtags. It's little mini businesses.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Tim, football fans in England are not activists, but and you might get a bit of this in Liverpool because they're a bit more mobilised because of the backdrop to what Liverpool are as a football club and what the city is and how it's viewed by the rest of the country and whatnot. But the vast majority of fans, once the game's over and once they get over a bad result, go on about their normal lives. They don't want Tottenham to become a thing that they have to be, that they have to do something to fix. Most people are having to fix things in their own lives. So to get them to come out on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, whatever the protest was, you're asking a lot. Like, fans fundamentally don't care. That they might care enough to tweet, but that's very different from getting on a train and going to Enfield and protesting against the chairman who has complete control. It's
-5 degrees as well. It's fucking freezing. The one in the summer was all right. We went down the stadium, had some beers, and it was nice weather, and you got to see my friends and have a little look. But yeah, no one's going up to Enfield at -5. Also, we've not bottomed out. We've not hit the bottom yet. Complaining about being fifth in the league and in the next round of the Champions League, it's a bit of privilege, you know. It's not. We're not bottom of the. We're not Everton. We're not headlocking people, executive board members. We're not getting relegated, you know.
I can't believe that Everton stuff where their fans are, and like I'm saying, like the protests at Everton, while they are, I don't think they went about it the wrong way. Like bad press, they came across like petulant a little bit, like kicking Anthony Gordon's car and stuff like that. This is like one of your local boys. Yeah. but we in London, we're not mobilised. We're not interested. And when we started the podcast, and it was interesting, the guy made a comment on Reddit digging me out because I've gone from being sort of holier than thou, pious, sort of this is what football should be, to maybe we should accept Qatari money. Like, I get the change. But what I realised in the first 3 or 4 years of doing the Fighting Cock is it was a lot about fan action and mobilising and reducing ticket prices and sticking fingers up at StubHub and all that sort of stuff. But people don't care. They just want
to. Young and full of cum. You were a young man full of energy, out to change the world. Get old, man. It happens.
It happens. But also, I realise that no one gives a shit. Like most first fans, they just, and I get it, and accept it, and I'm the same now. Is they want Spurs to offer a distraction from the difficult of living life and dealing with the mental existential thoughts you have at 4 a.m. in the morning. Right? I want Spurs to take me away from that shit. I don't want to have to fight. I don't want to have to fight Spurs.
When you did 1882, you got called a shoe waving Wally.
Yeah. So when we set up this thing, I was a fucking. You get criticised wherever you go. So, now I don't give a shit, man. Just fucking win, Spurs. Whatever it takes.
Someone came on the podcast, remember, to complain that you weren't being... 1882 weren't inclusive of other fans with in terms of their chants. You weren't doing the classic chants and you weren't following the kind of the system. And they got upset that you were trying to make an atmosphere but not following the rules.
Yeah, that was right. There we had a group... called or a couple of lads from something called the Shelfside Choir, which was back in the old White Lane. We had a podcast where we was doing the 1882 movement in sort of the throes of it, in the height of it. We were getting a lot of criticism from other fans, like it's not authentic or it's you're alienating other supporters, and we know how to follow the football club, and we had them on the podcast. So obviously the best way to solve any issues is discourse. But yeah, we just whatever we did back in the early days, it was met with criticism or apathy. And so if you're met with apathy constantly, you become apathetic. Like, no one cares, so why should I? And that was kind of that's where all that shit died, and we just wanted to win with oil money. That's not true. I don't want to win with oil money. I'd like to win, though. That'd be good.
Winning would be so nice.
Yeah. Alexander Scree, we'll wrap this up here. He says, are our fan base more negative than others, and why are we, if so? Do you think we are?
I don't think so. We're just as negative as every other single fan base. It's just not going... Last summer, it was joyful. There was so much joy everywhere because we were winning games. And we're just a bit sad because it's not going right. And that's just football, man. We've been saying for years, there's circles to this shit. Unfortunately, Spurs' circles are fucking tiny, and it's over before we even know it. But I remember when I did that fans bet thing earlier in May. It was incredible going up there, Arsenal fans in the mud. Now,
Sky bet
asked me to come back now, I'm not going near.
Well, they may do. I'm sure they're doing another show soon, but it's going to be tough. I mean, the last time we went, it was, the Arsenal were top of the league, but they didn't believe. Now they believe. I think they should believe. Then it'd be fucking hell. Well, we had to do. I had to do something with Robbie on Robbie Lyle from Arsenal Fan TV, and on Saturday, and that was the Saturday before the Arsenal game. That was tough. It's like how do I find ways? Because it's not about, I can't compete on football in this season. We can't compete. We're probably going to get beat in the North London Derby as we did So it was like, how do I do it? So it's just like, well, you lot, if you bottle it from this stage, it's going to become, yeah. You know, it'd be incredible. But yeah, you just have to
win the Champions. We have to win the Champions League, like win the Champions League or the FA Cup. Just do that, just to try and take some shine off them.
So before we end, we do have a Champions League tie against AC Milan. What do you make of AC Milan, and can we beat them?
Yeah, we can beat them. I'm going to. I'm looking forward to going out there.
Are you going? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm going away. I've never been to the San Siro, so I'm quite curious.
I've been twice. Hey, it's not all that. It's honestly, it's a shithole. It's horrible to get to. You get abused by police. If I never have to set foot in the San Siro again, it'd be too soon. But what do you make of AC Milan this year? Like, who they've got?
Rafael Leao could turn it on. Teo Hernandez and Rafael Leao are incredible players who, on their when they have a moment, can change a game. So that's their danger. I think they're a good team, but I think they're beatable. It's not like we're going up against Napoli right now. So I think it'll be tight, but I think we can get past this. We can get past them.
And if we get past them, can we win it?
If we get lucky in the draw,
we can win it.
We have some 2019 magic. It'd be great to win it.
We've won games. We've won games in Europe many times. Why can't we do this? Yeah. All the way.
Get through Milan, and then we'll see what happens. Get lucky in the draw.
I think England, the English teams are the ones we have to worry about. I don't think everyone else. Like, fuck them. I say that for having very little knowledge of any other team in Europe.
you kind of got to avoid Real Madrid and Bayern and PSG.
Do them all. Fuck them. Whatever. All right. Thank you very much, Bardi. Go and become a patron at The Extra Inch. You're constantly doing Spurs content. What else goes on behind the paywall over there?
Nathan does loads of videos, highlights any kind of player we're linked to. He'll do a kind of in-depth watch on them. Manager stuff. Our Discord is bouncing. There's loads of shit happening there. Windy's Extra podcast, book reviews, blogs, all kinds of stuff.
Well, does it ever sort of go sour in the Discord? Because any kind of community, local community, where everyone's talking, there's going to be sort of fallouts. Is it, what sort of things are people arguing about in there?
They're all Conte out, Poch in. So I'm the one that's had a fallout with everybody.
So you're what is it about Poch that you don't want?
Don't go back. Never go back. It's like when you're on a night out. If you've been at a good pub, you don't go back to that pub because it's never the same. You keep walking on, even if the next pub's shit and the pub after that is shit. Never go back. And I just still scarred by his decisions in the semi-finals. I'm still scarred by the 2-2 at Chelsea. There's a lot of... he had one of the greatest Tottenham team in my lifetime and didn't win anything. What do you expect him to do with this bunch of idiots? That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's also like if you could have a great relationship with a woman and you've had loads of sex and then you split up and you go back and you realise that sex is the same. Mm. Not that sex is the be-all and end-all about a relationship, but it is important.
Yeah, it's like, important.
You know, what if the sex ain't great, then what do you look for? Familiarity. Is that enough to have a familiar feeling of Pochettino?
And you can't go back after 6-7 years. No one looks the same. No one's held up over time.
You look. You say that, but you look the best you've ever looked in that I've known you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, when I met you, do you remember what you looked like?
I like the cigarette. I like the cigarette, and I like a bit of chocolate.
All right, buddy. Take care, mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Flav.
Spot on, mate. Sports Social Podcast Network.